This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome to The Price of Music, the show that looks at the money behind the music industry with me, Steve Lamack, and Music Allies Head of Insight, Stuart Dredge. It's one of our interview shows today. And Stuart, something which you understand a bit more than I do, which is the world of TikTok and how valuable it can be to musicians. Well, valuable financially, but also influential in terms of a musician's career these days, TikTok.
Yeah, we've talked a lot, I think, about traditional music industry putting their music on TikTok and what happens, but there's a whole community of musicians on there who are building their audiences, doing live streams, doing videos, and then kind of releasing music. So there's this whole community of native TikTok artists, and it's really fascinating.
So explain who we're talking to.
So we're talking to Charlie Tyler and Russell James Williams. So they're two musicians. She sings and he plays music, and they play together on TikTok, and they've been doing live streams for quite a while now. I've just released their second album, I think. And they're performing this week at TikTok's first ever live music pop-up. So we thought it would be a good chance, didn't we, to kind of get them in front of us and ask them what they're doing, how they're doing it, and how it all works. Okay, so look, welcome to the show, Charlie and Russell. We're really excited to talk to you, especially as you're preparing for this performance that we'll talk about later. But like, thank you for kind of coming on.
Thanks for having us.
So I guess, like, to start, it would be good to just maybe tell us about yourselves, because I think some of our listeners will know you because they'll be your followers already on TikTok and others won't. So like, tell us, people who haven't seen or heard you, I guess, like, you know, who are you? How did you get together? What's your origin story of kind of making music together? And we'll go from there.
Should we start that?
Yeah. So we are basically the pop rock duo of TikTok Live. We go under the name Charlie Tyler as our band name. I'm Charlie, he's Russell.
Yep.
And basically, we started creating original music together, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, just about 3 years now.
Yeah, so we were separate performers. Russ used to be in a band. How long ago?
Many moons ago. No, I used to be in a band about 10 years, and that disbanded about 6 or 7 years ago. So it was just prior to the, you know, about a year or so before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And I was on the road, and I came off and then came into the pandemic, which is part of where the story starts.
Yeah. Do you want to expand from that?
Yeah, so we started, we've ended up being this pop rock duo together, but the origins are a bit odd. So when I came off being, I was in an independent band, we ran it all ourselves. It was very, very grassrootsy for almost a decade. And we somehow made records and did what we did. This was like around the times of when Kings of Leon were having hits in the charts and that kind of the Killers era type thing. Just before kind of like rock music and that kind of like turned into dance music in the charts. And that took me with it. So a lot of bands in our scene disappeared because we were on the road and suddenly no one was getting deals and lawyers weren't interested. The whole kind of scene collapsed as I was touring, which is very heartbreaking because it was something that we did, as, you know, for like 10 years. And it just suddenly went, and I know I'm not alone with that. Like a lot of people of that era, they just disappeared within 2 or 3 years, right? So I then picked myself back up. I started a production company. It sounds sexy, but it was just me making records with people I knew. And I had like a shoestring budget and I started that. And then unfortunately, and I just started a family, unfortunately, the pandemic hit as I started that. And I just had a newborn as well. So I was right up against it. And I thought, well, I've got to give it a go because the pandemic is here. We don't know what it means. Charlie's got a very different story to what she was doing in the pandemic. And I fought my way through that. And I met Charlie at the very, very end when I just ran out of time to do anything else. And I was about to quit music altogether because there was just nothing. We didn't know what was going on in the pandemic. No, none of us did. And we didn't know when it would end. And I was making records with like 3 or 4 other people, which you got to know. And we just didn't know what was going to happen to the music industry or entertainment in general, did we? None of us did. And then I met Charlie online through a friend who suggested, oh yeah, she'd be really good to work with you. I think you guys will kind of get on, and it just kicked off, didn't it? So how did we meet when we first?
I think the thing for us that's kind of magical is that we were both kind of at the ends of like what we were doing, if that makes sense. So obviously I'm a lot younger than Russ, and at that point I was gigging in pubs from like 16, and kind of doing that circuit just acoustically with my guitar and like some original compositions and covers and things. And I kind of got to a point like post pandemic where I'd been doing live streaming on other platforms and things that was doing really, really well, but kind of just felt like going around in circles. So I was kind of like, I don't think I can like keep going with this circuit.
Yeah.
And you called me literally like a week later. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. So really without that connection, and it was all done online because it was during the pandemic. I'd never met Charlie. Yeah. I was so impressed with a couple of things you'd done online. And I thought, well, I had just enough in the coffers to do one other stab. I think I was down to about 6 or 7 months. This room I rent here, I had about 6 months left on the lease here. And I was like,
yeah.
I remember us getting to the end of it going, we've made this record together. The lease was coming up. And I said, well, if we can't do anything with this record we've made, I'm done.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do. And then
November before the Christmas, we went on TikTok Live was when we sat around the table in the kitchen and said, how are we going to make this like a thing? How are we going to promote this music and actually like keep ourselves alive? And then literally just before Christmas, 2022, I think, it just blew up.
Like, we went on TikTok live to practice the show. We had nowhere to practice, but I had this space that I was renting anyway. And we went on TikTok Live and it went off like nothing I've ever seen before. And thanks to the incredible generosity and community we've built, we now do this full time. It's the oddest thing that I've ever, it's kind of like, it's like almost like a Phoenix rising moment, isn't it? It just came out of nowhere from literal.
Yeah.
It's not even, we have no investor, we have no label. This is what we do. And it's been generated purely through the community that we've built.
I think the thing that's amazing is that it's so difficult to generate an income through the industry and kind of with original material. So the fact that we're able to do that and grow our music on other platforms is just like, it's a dream.
Yeah, we're still recording from it. It's been 16 months of
chaos.
We've not had a hit record. I guess this must be what it's kind of similar to.
But it's kind of... It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because I think when people who maybe aren't so in the world of TikTok hear about musicians on TikTok, the assumption is often they're TikTokers who fancied having a go at music. But it's the opposite. You're musicians who kind of happened upon TikTok, but you were musicians first and you've been on the circuits, like you said, respectively. So that's kind of interesting. It wasn't like you went on TikTok and then met. It was the kind of tool for your music that you've done.
Yeah, I think that part's interesting because obviously, like you say, we were doing music prior to being on TikTok, and it's kind of like the industry gets saturated by influencers, if you like, doing music, rather than the opposite way around. So the fact we've got the opportunity to do that is, you know, that's...
It's honestly mind-blowing. We'd like to say we have some sort of, you know, pre-prepared answer to take on. We have no idea what's going on. It's really bad. And I think... What's really important, if anyone else hears this, that is trying to pursue something, not just in music, just in entertainment, that we see ourselves as entertainers. We see the music industry very different now because we have this outlet where we can make the music we want to make. We make it with our community in real time. Now, at the moment, our second record that we're building towards, we have a lot of music that we made during the pandemic and a lot we've continued to make, you know, in between the live stream we do. And now we feel that we're even adapting like what we release based on what people actually like. So it's kind of like we play the track to them and then we get a response and we go, oh, maybe they didn't like that one so much.
Yeah, and then if they love it, we're like, let's release it next week.
And it's honestly that part of it, I can't express enough if other people do want to come on to the internet in general, not just TikTok. It's amazing, the tools. Because when I was touring, what I was trying to explain to Charlie was that I started when, you know, YouTube, when I started, had like 400 videos of it. And it was mainly like vlogging. And we actually used to do our ticket sales through Twitter.
That's fascinating.
Right, yeah. Which was bizarre. And the thinking back on that, I was like, yeah, that's really weird. We used to send out tweets and let people know where we're playing. And that was like our poster. We'd kind of figured out that Twitter would work that way. And this is a while back now. But TikTok is honestly something else. It's like another...
I think it has to take a different approach, though. So obviously we are technically musicians, but the approach we have to take on TikTok is that we kind of have to be all these different areas. We have to host the show and we're kind of like presenting it as if people aren't watching the show and they're listening to it. So we're kind of running a radio show on your phone, but then you can also watch it and you can engage with it. So it's kind of, it's combining all these different like social media entertainer sort of aspects into one, rather than just being a musician.
It's much more like what I guess entertainers used to be like in the 30s and 40s, where they would be multi-skilled, multi-talented presenters of things, because obviously post-war everything was so tight and entertainment was on the rise. And the, I guess especially in the UK, we had that kind of like era of entertainers from that period that were the general entertainers, and that's not yet to be replaced. We kind of feel like we've gone all the way back to there, because we have to, when someone's watching their phone, you have to get their attention and then you have to entertain them, like as if someone's walking past in the street, because they could just swipe out the feed.
Every 2 seconds, it's like, just, who are you?
You can just swipe in and out. No one knows how you're seeing it. And the way that TikTok Live works is that it randomly puts people into your show. So someone from New Zealand could be watching you, has never seen you before. And so when they end up in your room, depending on what you're doing, like why would they stay and watch? It's a strange dynamic. So we have some fans that have watched us from the very get go that don't say anything for like 12 months, and then they finally leave a comment, and you think, you've been here for a year,
you feel welcome.
You can say hello. And sometimes we've had some people in the room. They immediately see it and go,
What is this?
Is hilarious. And they start engaging and, you know, gifting and sharing the feed out. It's really varied.
Yeah,
it's a very new, I don't get it, because I've spent most of my adult life playing, you know, the circuit in the UK, you know, playing the Cavern Club, looking forward to venues like that. Get to play the Cavern Club again. They're like all the legendary little bits and pieces that are left, playing larger shows, you know, maybe once or twice a year, doing that whole grind. And now we're on TikTok. And although we do miss it to an extent, it's a new show every day to a completely different set of people. And that's what's completely mad about it. So it's really hard to try and condense it down to get people to really understand it. We've tried to make a pop rock show on your phone or tablet, so you can interact with us. You can contribute to what you're doing. You can watch it for free. You can share it to your friends. You can comment on it. You can go and listen to our music on streaming services. You can just put it on like the radio. Like we've learned some people just watch it and they're not even watching it. Like Chai said,
they just like doing work around the house or something.
They leave it on like a radio, like a radio DJ. So we've had to adapt how we talk, everything to how we do the show. It's simply, you don't just turn up and play a show, if that makes sense. And that was really...
You can't ignore the fact that you're live with people on the other end of the phone. You have to like be aware of that point. Like in a live show.
So mad, yeah. I'd love to be able to condense it into...
It sounds like you've had, like, so you've kind of learned, and we're going to ask about how what you've done has evolved. And it sounds, I mean, looking at your feed, like you're doing the behind the scenes videos, like here's a song we're working on. You're doing lip sync stuff. Like, so have you had to sort of lead into that? What works on TikTok? How do we do stuff around the live streams? It sounds like you've been kind of having that crash course, I guess, in how to build an audience there and how to grow.
Yeah, I think the thing that we've learned is when we first came on TikTok, I would say in 2021, maybe at the back end of it, we spent a long time growing the platform. So we did a lot of pro shot like covers where I was just playing the guitar and Russ was filming and stuff. And we grew the following to, I think it was 100K before we really even knew what TikTok Live was. So we grew it and then left it for a bit because we kind of were stuck like what do you do with it? Yeah, music, unless it's something insanely viral, which we haven't yet like figured out, because there's no kind of right or wrong for it. We were like, well, what do we do? Where do we go next? And it was only until we started live that we think it kind of helped and it had a bit of a crossover between like live and short form. But it's kind of like a lot of people as much as we had a large following, we don't think that they came, that the live people came from that, if that makes sense. So now we're kind of moving into an area of how can we generate more followers and more engagement from our short form by going with like content that we think people will respond to, as opposed to like just music or just TikTok trends, and combine the two. So the fact that we've now released more music, we can obviously intertwine it.
Yeah, we make a lot of music, and this has given us the ability to be able to keep making music, keep releasing music, and figuring out what we want to do. We're more interested in the community we're building. We've had various approaches from different brands and, you know, institutions and investors and stuff, but none of it makes any sense because we've built an actual group of people that actually keep us going. So for us, like, the numbers are such on socials, which is also a tip if anyone wants to get into it, the numbers don't really mean anything.
No.
Because if you have 100 people that are passionate about watching and in getting involved in your art or whatever you do on TikTok, not just music, you know, that you can sustain yourself on that. And yeah, it'd be nice to play to more people, and we are increasingly so. But I think it's hard because it's also a new form of entertainment. So we, you know, a lot of our viewers are from all age ranges, for example. A lot of people listen to music in a contemporary fashion, so they go to shows at the weekend, or they, you know, they might buy a remaster or a re-release, or there might be someone new that only listens to things on streaming. And people are discovering that you can be entertained in this way, and we just did it by mistake. We were very prepped, but to say that we knew what we were doing would just be a lie. We didn't know what we were doing. We turned up. But we did have the music, and we did have the show, and we put years of effort into that, because we knew that we had to make it as good as possible. But we can't say that we knew that TikTok Live was going to be like this.
Well, the technology is so new that it's almost like some people don't know how to engage with it immediately. So we're kind of educating them at the same time. As we're learning.
I'm still educating myself. I still
I
still feel that.
They don't. People come into the room and it's almost like, you know, you have to take them, walk them through like all the different things you can engage with and how we run the show.
It's scary, man. So we were playing a show a couple of months ago and Brian May came in the feed.
Yeah.
Sure Brian May was logging into TikTok and watching you.
I was playing a guitar solo and Brian May turns up. And I'm thinking, oh, great, cool. Thanks for the heads up, Brian. it's the actual Brian May.
They were all in the chat going, Brian May, so we're like, guys, stop trolling us. Like,
and then he started commenting, and that's what's incredible. So, you know, we don't know Brian May or anything to do with
him. He's not been back since.
So, too crazy. Too mad. But that's what's weird. We've had all kinds of people end up in the feed.
Yeah.
And I think with Brian turning up, that was such a bizarre moment because I thought, we're now playing in front of Brian May. But the thing that's important, I think, for musicians and entertainers, there's no barrier. There's no... It's down to the viewer and the performer as such. There's, you know, apart from your internet connection, there's literally nothing there. It makes for us where we've had to learn very quickly. We've had to be very disciplined and be critical of what we're doing and stuff because it's just open warfare the entire time. You know, you can't write. What I really hate is all this data driven world we live in. You can't write that down in a spreadsheet. I mean, how can you? You can't put that in a how many streams you've had on the internet or how many views you have on a YouTube video. If you think something's great, you can. It doesn't matter. It's your opinion that matters, and that's the beautiful thing about the internet in general. And TikTok's quite a focus on that. There are like a lot of our friends that are big creators on the platform. They do wildly different things to what we do, you know. And one of our big friends is the biggest Call of Duty player in the world at the moment, and he loves what we do. But why is he interested in what we're doing? He comes to the feed. You see what I mean? So it's quite complicated from a traditional format to go, you know. What does your music mean? Well, to him, he's getting entertained by it, but he's in a completely different market.
Yeah.
But he's telling all his gamer friends about, I should see Charlie Tyler on TikTok. And we're like, we should go and watch what's Big J G-Man. He's amazing. And it's a very, it's so liquid. It's like all these different worlds are touching, like kind of overlapping onto each other.
I think that's
what we love about it.
There's like a common denominator of like the quality of the content though, I think. Like if it's of like a level,
Oh yeah, that's like anything, I mean. Though. Yeah, 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 that's still the same thing. You know, if you've got a great Bowie record, it's still a great Bowie record, and how you all the great music of the past, it still translates. It translates the best. You know, if you hear great music on TikTok, it does well, right? And that's nice to know that still is in effect. So we don't see ourselves as TikTokers as such. We are TikTokers, but we're like the wrong way around. If there is a wrong way.
What I find interesting is the fact that, you know, you're learning something new all the time while you're almost unlearning as well. Yep. You have to unlearn how the industry works as you knew it and stop thinking and coming to the conclusions of the old world and trying to work out the new one. And also, it's a different sort of, I guess it's a different community as well. Have you found other people like yourselves who exist not in the sort of older style music industry, but are doing what you're doing now?
We're the first people to do it in the West. So
we'll just leave it there. Full stop.
With that, the problem is that we put our foot straight through the top hat, literally. We just shoved our foot straight through it. So we've got very few contemporaries on the internet. But there are more coming onto the platform. There are a couple of acts in America. They've had the app in TikTok. They've had the app for about 6 or 7 years. So they're further ahead than us.
Yeah.
In Germany, there's more people. But there's a very, in terms of what we do, we're kind of the only people on the internet doing it. There are a few coming, and it's amazing to see, because you'd be quite shocked at like how is bands from Cuba, you know, like what was the other lot from? Like New Zealand, Australia, there's a couple of people kind of giving it a bit of a go. Not quite like how we do. I don't know if you guys have seen the show. It's pretty chaotic, but there aren't yet. We're hoping that more people do turn up. There's maybe like one other act in the UK that's doing it, but to be honest, like we've put our foot through it and we didn't realize it. However, in Asia, there are groups like us in other apps that use this type of technology. So it is something that we didn't realize, but since being on TikTok, they've said, no, what you've done, you don't realize it. This has been happening for 10 years in China, and you've just gone, we're like the kind of British invasion in like a tiny little way, like in a little way, probably a little insignificant way. Without the talent, we're like the little British invasion that's just gone boom. So yeah, that's... we're still kind of recalling from it and whatever it means. But like you say, like for me, it's been big unlearning. Massive unlearning. It's been a lot easier for Charlie. There's like a 10-year gap between us. And for me, like you say, trying to get your head out of your own experiences, that has been a big challenge for me, particularly.
Mm.
I mean, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be on TikTok. You're the one that suggested TikTok. It's I was like, live streaming.
Let's just go for it. Let's try
it. It's rock and roll, isn't it?
Is that good? But it's kind of good, I think, because there was that moment in the music industry when a lot of artists were being told, get on TikTok. And there were these videos happening where they'd be like, I don't want to be here, but I've been told I have to by the label. But like going on something and going, well, I'll see what it does. That feels creative and fun. It feels like it's more of a, you know, coming from you rather than someone telling you, you have to be on this. I don't know how firm you were, Charlie, in telling him you have to do this, mind. But do you know what I mean?
Well, I had previous experience on another platform that I wasn't monetizing from, but I was just kind of doing it throughout the pandemic to kind of grow a following. So I kind of knew that there were audiences there that were willing to watch live streams, but to what extent, we had no idea. So I just said, like, look, we've built this following. I don't know what it means. We didn't know that the gifting was such a thing. And I think it has definitely developed on app in general over the last 16 months for everyone. But we didn't realize the potentials of it. So I was literally working at a coffee shop and I texted him one day. I was like, let's just go on TikTok. Like, I don't want to be here. Let's just go on TikTok and test it. And you called me one day and said, I was at work and you were like, I've got the sound working. It's all coming through the phone. I went live and I had 120 people in the room. I was like, let's go.
And this is the thing with TikTok. I went live whilst I was setting up because I just didn't even know what it was. And 120 people watching me cable up a live stream.
You were playing outside, I remember it. You're playing one of our first tracks. And you're like, it worked.
It worked. And then the kind of rest is history, really. But yeah, the thing I'd say about to like other artists as well, to answer a question about like, oh, I've got to go on TikTok, it's the industry thing. live streaming isn't the same. So live streaming is much like, we want to get into podcasting, by the way. This is quite interesting. Like, we're quite fascinated by it. We've been asked by people, can you start a podcast? Mm. We're like, why? Like, so anyway, we look at that. And obviously, you know, you, Steve, you've got like mass, that's what your game, right? And that type of entertainment. But the live streaming thing, it's like a radio broadcast and a performance. So if you're a musician going on to anything on the internet, but particularly TikTok Live, the live streaming thing, the thing that we'd encourage people to do is you're there to entertain people. So a live stream is no different to watching a broadcast performance of something at an arena or a stadium or watching Glastonbury or something. It's exactly the same. And that's what I think a lot of people can take a lot of advantage of if they listen to that. We treat it like you come in, it's rocking, come say hi, do what, if you want to go mad, go mad. If you don't, just want to chill out, just do it. And we're trying very, very hard to kind of combine that radio interview style thing with the live stream. And it seems, because when we listen to it back, it is like a radio show. So being on TikTok as a musician to promote yourself, the short form thing, that's a different game. Like, yeah. We're not masters of that. We are performing like it's our own show. We know a couple of guys and girls do amazing on short form, and I'm telling you, man, it's like an art form.
But they can't always get live to work though.
So yeah,
some of them, right? Have an amazing short form scenario and they go live and they're like, I can't get more than 20 people in the room. Like, what's going on? So I think it's one at a time, and then there's a slight overlap, I think.
So coming out traditionally, we've found, well, because we didn't come out traditionally, could be a bit of a disadvantage. But like saying, Steve, it's the unlearning part. What people are on the internet for, I mean, I don't know. Like, they seem to like what we do, and we haven't learned anything more.
Yeah. It's refreshing, I think, to be like, because you could easily come in here swaggering, going, we had the master plan, we knew exactly it, we're brilliant. But I mean, you mentioned the gifting, and I think that was something we wanted to kind of chat to you about, because obviously you've released an album, you have played concerts as well, haven't you? But you've also then got TikTok Lives. So what's, in terms of how you make money, without telling me your bank statements,
yeah,
like what have you learned about how you put this together to make it sustainable for you to do it full time? Like, is it a mixture of new stuff on TikTok and then the traditional ways of making money as artists?
I think for us, first off, we didn't realize the potentials of what TikTok Live could do for us income wise. I think we kind of, like we said, we went into the unknown, and so when we came back after the Christmas, we went on live, we addressed it slightly differently, and we thought, because we'd watched it over the Christmas period, and we thought, hang on, there is a way that you can, you know, monetize on this platform. And, you know, we hadn't kind of done anything more than like, what, $20 in a stream. But we thought, hang on, if we address the gifting differently and we make it a part of the show, we make it as interactive as possible, we bring in reactions, we bring in props, and kind of, you know, make that as much of a part of the show as the music is, then it might kind of, you know, help people to understand what the gifting is on the platform if they don't already know, because obviously the technology is very, very new.
Actually, it's worth explaining quickly, because I think maybe everyone listening might not know. So gifting is, am I right in saying it's basically almost like virtual tipping you with yeah, coins and TikTok? So people can actually, if they like what you're doing, they can tip you. Yeah.
So gifting works, simply put, is that if you like what you're seeing and you want to contribute to a stream, much like you would do with, like, I don't know, like a PayPal donation, you know, or GoFundMe or any of the online, you know, support structures that are available, with gifting, you're able to purchase coins, which then you can send virtual graphics on the screen. They come up on our screen, and you can go as wild as you want to with that. And with every gift you get, we receive a percentage of what that gift is. So the thing is, we don't decide what we get. It's the audience that decide, obviously, what they give. And we've been very fortunate, because it's like living in a daydream. The community we have are very, very generous. They have allowed us to carry, this is our full-time income. We are actually doing what we want to do in real time with an amazing group of people online. And we've been lucky to meet a few people, which can really, really help. Mm. And we're not going to lie about it. It is something that we never expected. But gifting is, you can show your appreciation through gifting very, very easily on the app. But it's all like little video graphics that you see. So for example, well, the amazing part of it, the real positive about gifting, which doesn't get talked about enough, when I see like a performer online and they know who we are, right? If Charlie or myself gifts the performers, they go mad.
Yeah.
Because we're like almost like giving it back into other performers that are just getting started. And if it's almost like, so we've got friends in the app that we help support, and everyone's kind of rising up together. But it's initially bizarre that you would send a running line across a screen and it's roaring. And I don't know if you've seen like, you've gone on our TikTok page. Some of it is mad. And I've got confetti cannons in here. We've got changing light, and we tried to really up the production. It's really funny because some of the gifters, they just go, dude, I just want to help you out. Like, you don't have to, like,
they're like, stop with the confetti.
Just stop going mad. What we do go mad is, I think if you're a real thing, which we like to think that we really just are doing it together. Mm. When someone tips you, it's amazing because it's like, wow, you're actually the only reason we can make the second record is because of the public. They've decided if they didn't like what we did, we wouldn't be doing this anymore. There's no, you know, I think that's what's mad.
Yeah, the surreal part is that obviously anybody has the opportunity to send a gift, but they've tiered it in a way that obviously you can just send like, you know, what is like a penny right up until like you can combo them right up until like, you know, a chunk. So I think that means that obviously people of every tier can get involved. But I think for us, it still means the same when people send a rose, which is like the lowest, it's like a one coin gift.
That's a penny.
Yeah. Right up until like a TikTok universe, which is like, what, 45,000 coins. So there's like a huge chunk. But for us, it's the fact that people are actually investing in what we do and they're enjoying it enough to get involved. Yeah. With
and it adds
anything
to the show. So the gifting adds to the show. Everyone gets excited. And I think one of the things I'd like to also say on record is that there are people in our community. We have people that can't physically make shows, actually physically are not unable to leave the house. We have people that are financially in a position they can't contribute. They can watch it for free. And we encourage that, people to not feel weird they can't gift in the stream. We have people from all types of backgrounds all over the world that are hopefully enjoying what we're doing. They keep going back. And some of our bigger gifters realise that they can add to the show and help and entertain these other people. So it's so when we've done charity events, so we did a charity event for BBC Children in Need, where the actual campaign raised, was it $650,000 in gifting for children in need? And one of our big gifters, I can't say who it is, someone in America who's a big contributor to the Make-A-Wish Foundation in the States, heard about children in need by watching our rock show. And this person is of an exceptional financial stature, let's just say. And he went mad because he was like, I love this charity. I've never heard it before in my life. I'm a big donor to Make-A-Wish. And he came in and just went mad.
Yeah.
And that part is incredible. That bit is, you're able to expose, especially the charity work goes really, really well because people can see, oh, I can give to charity. Like in TikTok, we're giving bonuses to if they reach certain targets, they give cash amounts into children. And it was amazing because we're just going on camera, just going absolutely crazy, trying to entertain people, encouraging them. And certain individuals that can make quite significant contributions are exposed to this whole different world they've never seen. So we're quite proud to be at least in the firing line of helping that as well. Comic Relief did as well, similar thing. Because our audience is worldwide, and you know, if you're in Japan or you're in, you know, New York, you might not have heard of Comic Relief, but you might want to support it, and you might be. And the amazing thing about that as well is, if you gift a Comic Relief gift, we get part of the percentage, and then the charity does, so they can contribute to that financially, and both the charity and ourselves get the funding that we need to carry on. So we're very proud of that bit because we obviously never came on to get a gift in our lives. Everyone's just decided to gift us. So when you see us going completely mad, it is because someone's decided, you know what?
It's Christmas every day. Imagine what happens when Brian May learns to gift. He'll be dropping universes all over the place.
Yeah.
Someone needs to teach him. I mean, we had a couple more questions. We had a couple more questions. I mean, one was about burnout, because I think about a year ago, in my work writing about music industry, I was writing a lot about artists struggling with, and a lot of this was like traditional music artists coming onto all these new social platforms and sort of feeling like it was so much to do. But I've seen it on YouTube too with YouTubers. A lot of them hit a wall at some point where like, I haven't got the space and time to have new ideas. And like, how is that something you've thought about in terms of how you plan your schedule, what you do, like and making sure you have that space and time to still write and record and be creative and live lives? Because sometimes it seems like a lot of these platforms, they can feel like that kind of hamster wheel of like, I've got to keep serving the algorithm, keep putting content out. So as creators, how have you approached that of kind of staying, I guess, keeping your well-being while also being able to kind of build and grow?
I think, to be totally honest, it's really, really difficult. We do between 2 and 3 shows a day, around 1.5 to 2 hours each. So we stream a lot. When we first came on the platform, we were live probably 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
In different formats.
Yeah. And we did 7 days a week of that for a year.
Yeah. So
it was brutal.
Trying to record, obviously, Russ creates all the music and produces it. And obviously, I do all of my own vocals and everything, obviously. So trying to have the space to actually do that and be creative at the same time has been very difficult.
Yeah.
And trying not to, like, you know, lose voices and kind of just, like you say, get to a point where we feel uninspired and
yeah, we do hit walls. I mean, like, to avoid burnout. And I've got a young family as well. So, like, yeah, you know, not seeing my kids and, yeah, it's the normal hard working graph bit. But I think and I don't know if this is a positive, we, especially myself, I know how hard the industry is traditionally. So when you get any type of opportunity, in my opinion, from my experience, this is only my experience, you've got to go for that. Like, there's like hell on earth.
100%.
And we've done that, and we're trying to learn to take more time off the app. But it's hard. It's really hard to avoid burnout. The way we have avoided burnout is it's new material, new shows, new ideas.
That inspires us, I think.
Crazy things like new sets. Like, there's a T-Rex cut out in the back here. I don't know if you can see that. There's a jaw there. we run different themes in the shows. We try to do something fun and different. But yeah, it's hard, man. Like, it is not. If anyone's interested in live streaming, this is harder than being, in my opinion, like a medium level touring act. This is the same, because although we don't travel, like, we play a lot. But like I say, like, we do treat it as a privilege. So we have burnt out a few times. We actually took a holiday last year, which we couldn't. We were like, wow, we can actually like take some time off. And it is worrying, because you turn off the stream and the money stops.
That's the biggest thing for us, is because it is a full-time income for two of us. And it's in real time. So if we're not on the screen, we don't.
Yeah, we pay for all the props, the music, the recording, everything, guitar strings. Everything is through gifting.
Everything you see in here on the screens is financed by TikTok.
Yeah. On my understanding lab. Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, talking about, you know, running out of ideas and things, you have to find a place where you can be inspired to write new music, don't you? Otherwise you do end up like a band who their third album is just about being in the back of a van. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what you can write about when you're spending a cutout T-Rex. this new song's about a dinosaur. But what do you write about? Do you see what I mean? You have to live a bit of life as well to be able to, don't you, Charlie, to be able to have that conviction when you're singing a song.
Would you say that the benefit to what we do is that we wrote so much music before going on TikTok?
Yeah, we wrote an insane amount of music. And then, but you're right, like, how I think the things that inspire us, we are looking at certain projects at the moment that we want to do on the live stream to really like turn it on its head, like material wise. Like, we're looking at maybe doing more like EP style cover projects around certain artists that we both are really passionate about, maybe interjecting something completely different and then pull into the original music again. But we did write a lot of music to get new music out there. Yeah, it's that traditional thing, isn't it? It's like, how do you go from being in the back of a van to writing, and the label says, oh, we need another album off your top for you know, for 3 months, and sit there and make the best record in the world that everyone will buy, right? And I'm not sure we've not got there, Steve. So maybe if you like give us a follow up, like, it's hard. It's so hard, guys. It's so hard. It's we have one of our, like, we have mentioned him, but our friend, we're proud to call him a friend on the Gamer, and we never met the guy, and we met him at dinner finally, and he's a very tall, impressive man, ex-boxer, and he's got a very, like, kind of punk rocky Midlands vibe. He's very, like, kind of gritty, and he's got a great attitude. And you think, wow, this guy's impressive. This guy's really hard. And when everyone left the table, he looks around and goes, guys, you know when you end a live stream? Oh, you just so tired. You just want to pass out. And we were first out laughing. I'm so glad it's not just me. He has this whole, and it's hard, man. He plays computer games 8 hours a day on TikTok.
To be fair, it's nuts. There are some of them, some of our fellow creators on the platform, the hours they do, just the timings they choose to go on, so like, what, midnight to 3 a.m.? Yeah, we do, what, 9 till like 11. And by the time you calm down after a crazy stream and you actually go to sleep, it's like, what, half midnight? Yeah. You're back at work at like 9:30. And it's just like, you know, we love it, and not seeing it as a job is probably the most amazing thing.
Yeah, it's hard, but I think, Steve, you've got a really good point. Like, where the inspiration comes from is tricky. But I think we're trying very, very hard at the moment to keep it fresh with new music, which is why we're releasing it. At the moment, we've released a track every week off the second record, which is very different because we didn't drop the first record for a whole year, although it was already there. So we dropped that and immediately released a record from the second record. And then we want to keep releasing, because the thing that we've learned, which we never realized, was that the more music is out there, the more it can make its way through the internet and into people's ears. And to be honest, because we're not with a label, we don't even have a manager. Like, it's just us and my fiance that makes the props and the sets, and my landlord, it's called The Butler on TikTok. He's very understanding. But it's us four doing the whole thing. And we're still learning how we can make those changes through it. Because if we come off the app, then we can't earn. But then if we're on the app, then we can't make the records. So
it's finding that medium between the two. But the days are crazy.
Like, for example, today, like, we've got to get ready for the show tomorrow, and then we've got a stream as well. And then, like you say, to come up with the new music with that is very hard. But we're finding a way somehow.
Yeah. I mean, we had just a couple more questions. I mean, I was going to say this is the elephant in the room question, but you've got a big T-Rex in the room, and I'm not sure you'd squeeze an elephant in too. But like, one of the ways we've talked about TikTok on the podcast before is they're currently having this dispute with Universal Music, and they pulled all their music, and there was lots of talk about, does TikTok pay enough for music? And I don't want to put you in a position of having to give the view on that, because you're working with TikTok and you're obviously doing really well. But do you have a sense of how musicians like you who are working on TikTok independently, how they're seeing this kind of dispute and how they're seeing this whole debate about how much does TikTok value music? Should it pay more? Like, what's your sense of what creators on the platform are thinking about all this, I guess?
Okay, well, so we don't work for TikTok. We don't represent TikTok. We use TikTok, which I think is an important part of it. The reasons why we use it is not the same as other people. So, like I said, the gifting and the monetized part of what we do is the show. So we don't, because I'll make it a more umbrella approach. So the comment with the UMG thing, yeah, it's not great to have, obviously, things removed that you can't use. It's not great to have, like, limitations. But that's not none of our business. We don't own the music. We don't have, when we are not TikTok and we're not UMG, so it's their debate to have. But for us as independent musicians, what I would say, to kind of flip it on its head, I think that the way that we're approaching it doesn't make a difference to us in the slightest, because we've come at it from such a different angle that if you're going to rely on powers that be having disputes out of your control, then like you've got no future anyway. Our future's with our community. So if our community follow us everywhere, and that's the key part is that if the fan base that you've got, if you can entertain somebody and we're on TikTok, that's a pure coincidence. And TikTok has given us the ability to do so. So the UMG thing for us, when it happened, we're like, oh, that sucks. Anyway, got a live stream to do. I guess maybe because we're primarily original music based, it just kind of like went over our heads because we own everything we do. So
yeah, you're not relying on lip syncing to Universal music tracks. You're making your own music. So,
like you say, with the influencer thing, it's where we're kind of at the front of the game for good, bad, or indifferent. Is that we're not affected by anything because we're just our own bubble doing what we do. So everything else, if you're on TikTok to be an influencer and they pull all your sounds off your short form and it's UMG music, you've got a big problem.
Yep.
You got a big problem. But that's the same. We have problems with copyright of our own music. We put our own music up and all the social media apps take them down.
Yeah, I struggle to put videos up with our own sounds.
But I'm like, we literally own the copyright. I mean, here it is. So, yeah, it's not affected us. And we can't really make comment. It has affected other musicians more so on the app. But again, you know, like I say, we kind of bypassed that. Yeah. Luckily. Like, the difference to us.
you're taking your live experience to be, well, you're going to be part of TikTok Live, which is this week, I think, just for listeners who may not know what this is. What's TikTok Live going to be and what have you got planned?
So it's a pop-up event in King's Cross, just outside the station, tomorrow, so the 24th and the 25th of April. So I believe it's going to be a little bit of a surprise for us. We're not entirely sure what's happening, but there's going to be a stage that's popped up in King's Cross that selected music creators on the platform are going to be performing on throughout the day. So we're going to be showcasing a lot of our original music.
Yeah, and we're going to adapt it more to a concert, hopefully. That's a big challenge.
It's the first time we've done that since being on TikTok.
Yeah, because TikTok's just been all-consuming, really. And we do have plans to be playing physical shows, but the state of how everything is, like we say, for us, we're very, very positive about the internet. But the TikTok live event itself, it should be a lot of fun because we'll actually be able to play music to physical people. And we're going to hopefully, if we can pull it off with the time we've got, we're going to be live streaming it as well.
Yeah.
So it will be as it is on our shows, but also in the flesh. So it'll be TikTok live.
It's going to be us being serious for that.
Yeah, us being serious, yeah. Which we're not.
Yeah. Well, grand. Well, I mean, good luck for that. And by the time this comes out, I think it may be happening that day, Andre, but a bit. It sounds like it's going to be quite a lot of fun. And also just to meet the other people performing, I'm imagining would be quite fun. And some people you maybe only seen on the screen.
A lot of people you know on the app, that's also mad, is that they're all abroad.
So some of them are flying in for it.
Which is going to be nice. It's nice. We met them all. We did a thing called the TikTok Miami Live Fest, which is the big thing that TikTok do to celebrate the live creators. And that was the oddest. That was just meeting people from all across the world in one room, past the language barriers, was amazing. And we all know what we're all doing on the app. So it's nice to do something physical because it's nice to meet people. And however much the internet is a great tool, it's our livelihood. Yeah, the physical bit can't be replaced. I think that would always be a big part of it. So we're looking to do more things like the TikTok live event tomorrow.
Is that just before we finish? Is that the possibly one of the only downsides of doing what you're doing is that there is less, you know, actual interaction with people? Because I can imagine, I mean, you two obviously get on quite well, but is it quite almost it's a lot more lonely in a way probably doing what you do rather than being in the van when you can at least talk to the petrol pump attendant and the caretaker at the venue when nobody turns up, but you it's just you two, isn't it?
I personally find that the most difficult part because you kind of miss that physical interaction with people if you're performing, then obviously the audience. But just in general, the people that you'd meet when you're gigging, and like Russ when he's touring and stuff, you meet so many people virtually and not in person. So, you know, that's lonely, but it's incredibly rewarding. So it kind of, you know, it outweighs it sometimes.
I think we'd like to see ourselves in a couple of years' time being a hybrid of online streamers and some sort of physical show. But I would emphasize that the industry is very different now, even to when I was involved with it. And I didn't really have the support structures available, even just, let's just cut to the chase, financially to play shows. It's always been hard. It's always been hard. But now it's like, to even look at that as an expense for ourselves just doesn't make any sense, because we now have the finance available to be making things and entertaining people. So anything that threatens that is, you know, that's a real serious consideration. And why do we want to give away what we do when there's no reason? Like, if we can keep it growing, yeah, we're not going to be seen as, like, you know, on the official top 100. But to have a community like we have, like we did a thing called, this is going to sound a bit mad, a thing called Reset, where the rankings, which is like our charts on TikTok, they reset every week at midnight. And we went on at midnight a couple of weeks ago for Charlie's birthday, and we had over 1,000 people in the room watching the show. Why? And everyone was gifting, having a great time, playing this whole show. You're playing to 1,000 people. Right? I've, at the peak of what I did, which took me a decade to get to, I was playing to about 750 people, like as a bigger show. And I remember being in the van with all the boys going, I can't believe we're playing to almost 1,000 people and we're not signed. And we were really proud of it. We're like, these people have turned up. We don't know we're here. It took me 10 years to get to. 10 years. And you kind of think, when we got to number one on TikTok, we had over 4,000 people watching the show. That's 4,000 people.
That's a small theater.
Hello? 4,000 people. Is everyone mad? Like, if you're playing a show to 4,000 people and we don't even have a manager and they're engaged. We had, and I think on that we had over 2,000 people gifting us.
Yeah.
Individual people. And you think, can you get 4,000 people? Can you imagine us turning up, you know, at some, you know, gig? You're talking like, it's a medium-sized venue. It's a lot of people. And we've played to, you know, varying room numbers. But to be playing a pop rock show of whatever merit it holds up to, yeah, whatever it is that people enjoy about it, that's why we're quite protective of it. And we feel it's a great privilege, because that's where, like, the crossover. So a physical show, yeah, we want to do it. But you do see the potential of this type of technology, and you think, I know I'm going to say it again, it's 4,000 people. 1,000 people. Can you imagine an unsigned act getting 1,000 actual people at the show? Everyone would be going mad. No, everyone's like, oh yeah, 1,000 people in the room. What? We have a friend of ours on the app. He runs a radio show in the mornings. He has 800 people listening to him in the morning. 800 people. The guy's not with anybody. He's just on his own. And he's like, and he debuted our album. So here's the thing, Steve, that I think you would love. We put the record out, and he said, we said, look, we've got to put our record out. And he goes, I want to talk about it on my breakfast show. So he talked about it on the breakfast show. It's like a mini, you know, media entertainment thing on the go. And we tuned in the morning, as of my morning coffee, and Zach's there talking about the record. I'm thinking, this is insane. So he's actually, and he's loving it. He's telling us what his favorite tracks are. Like DJing, you know, it's proper grassrootsy. And we think, what?
You're getting immediate response in the chat as well.
And then we go and play a show, and he turns up in the chat, and he gifts us, and he brings fans from the breakfast show into our show, and then our fans get to see him and interact with it. The whole thing's just, so
that's community.
That potential, yeah, of it is insane. So yeah, physical shows for sure. But when you see what we just touched it, it's kind of like these like promising bits. It's hard to like not get passionate about it, especially for me, because I know you've seen how hard it was. You wanted to stop. I mean, I was doing it for so long. You go,
yeah.
It's the future could be very bright for entertainment as long as people could get into this type of technology. And so, you know, with the discussions about TikTok being banned in America and all this type of stuff, but whatever happens to that, it's none of our business. But if this technology whether it's TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, a new company, whatever it is, it could very well be a lifeline for all forms of entertainment on the internet, because it certainly happened to us. So, you know, why would it not happen to someone else that deserves it? There you go. That's my bit.
Well, look, Grant, I think it's really good. And it's been good, I think, because I think you've talked about some of the differences between TikTok and Twitch, but you've also, I think a lot of things you've said will make people realize that it's not so different in a sense. You're musicians, you're doing this, just a different medium, but it's been good. So, I mean, thank you both for your time and good luck for the gig, good luck for the kind of future. And I guess, so people who want to check you out, I guess Charlie Tyler on TikTok, Charlie Tyler on streaming services.
Yeah, just Charlie Tyler on everything, all the social platforms, YouTube, Instagram, streaming.
We're mainly on TikTok and streaming services, and we'll be expanding with more very soon, hopefully. Yes.
And a podcast. We've got some competition coming.
I hope so. We'd like to try it, but, you know, it's all expanding very quick, and how we keep our feet on the ground is still...
Well, you've made us want... We need to up our game and get a T-Rex, Steve, I think, or at least some kind of dinosaur.
We've got a whole room of stuff. What do you want?
Can we talk to your fiancé and get her to make something for us?
Our broadcast connection is extensive.
Great. Well, look, thank you both so much, and good luck for the concert.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
There you go, Charlie Tyler and Russell James Williams. Some really interesting aspects of being a TikTok artist, which I hadn't thought about, and not least the fact that, of course, you can gig every day, but not even just once a day. The fact that you can put on three shows a day if you want, that is, I mean, it's completely unlike the traditional mode of playing live, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, the funniest thing was when he mentioned like 1940s entertainers, and I thought, actually, you know, doing an end of the pier show three times a day, it's not a completely alien concept, is it? Like you bring the show, get people in. So it's weird. It's in some ways completely new, and in some ways circling back, isn't it? Some earlier stuff. And even I think for me, it's just the idea of these are musicians, and they've happened to find TikTok as the thing that helped them build their audience. But they're not TikTokers just doing music as a sideline. They're musicians, but they're finding that path. And I think it's a good, I don't know, I think it just made me think nowadays as a young musician, you find your path to reaching people. And that might be TikTok live streams as much as it might be playing the circuit. But you can do both, I guess.
Your face when they mentioned Brian May, your little face lighting up. Brian May.
Isn't that, imagine streaming and then it's like Brian May just entered the chat. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, really?
Well, so we hope you found that insightful, and you may have learned as much as I just have in the last half an hour or so. We'll be back with a couple of new episodes next week, a news one and one dedicated to answering your questions. So if you'd like to write to us, well, with any thoughts about the pod itself or the stories we've raised, or if you'd like something explained about the money in the music industry, we'll see what we can do. Just drop us a line at this email address, Stuart.
It's theprice of music podcast@gmail.com.
Thank you very much for listening. Do give us a review or a rating if you get a second. We'd be much obliged. Till next time, take care, everybody. Cheerio.